What's up, guys? This is the Lawn Care Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Green Again Lawn. I am your show host, Britt. Super excited to bring this episode to you. We have Brian Horn, editor of Lawn and Landscape Magazine, and he's going to give you guys some great tips and advice from his perspective, give you an overarching viewpoint of the GIE Expo as a whole. And also we delve into some business questions. So what we did this time, we have some Instagram followers, some Twitter followers, and then some local guys in the area that run small businesses. We said, hey, if you could ask Brian one thing, what would you ask him? What's some of your pain points? What's something that you need to get your business to the next level? Or hey, what's just one thing that you want to know? So that's where some of these questions derive from. But listen in and let me know what you think. Hear you. I can hear you perfect.
Cool.
So how's everything going?
Good. Yeah, just a busy time. I'm trying to take a vacation day tomorrow. It's always busy to get stuff done before you take a day off.
I bet. That's awesome. What are you doing? You just taking a personal day? Or are you guys going somewhere?
No, I just got to do volunteering my son's library and looking at our roof. Lots of fun stuff, owning a home, that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I know how that goes. Yeah. Cool, man. Well, I'm grateful for your time, and I really appreciate you kind of sitting down and giving us your input on everything. If you don't mind, I mean, I know I've kind of given you a heads up on some of the questions that our audience has either DM'd me on Instagram about, or some of the local guys have kind of chimed in about what they want answered. But I'll pepper you with those questions. But first, I'd like you to just kind of give a brief intro of who you are, what you're about, and then how you got started with Lawn and Landscape Magazine.
Sure. I was a journalism major in college at Bowling Green State University in Ohio. Okay. And I wanted to write for Rolling Stone, but that doesn't happen for everyone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I started in newspapers, working at a weekly newspaper, then I moved up to a daily, and then I moved over into magazines right around 2007.
Yeah.
Then I joined GIE Media, which is the parent company of Lawn and Landscape, and I've been on Lawn since 2010, starting as an associate editor, then moving up to managing editor,
okay.
And now the editor. Knew maybe two mower brands when I started, had no real knowledge of the industry. They hire on the ability to write, and you learn the industry. So yeah. I knew maybe one or two back then. Now I can name you all of them.
Yeah.
95% of them probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I really like this industry. It's one of those industries where there's a sort of a togetherness. No one's really out to get each other.
Yeah.
It's everyone's helping each other. We had an association director, one of the state associations, put it a good way, where he said that two landscapers could be bidding for the same job one day, one wins it, one doesn't, and then a week later they're probably sitting down at a table with some organization trying to figure out how to make their industry better. So
that's awesome.
I think that's something that's refreshing about this industry, and I hope it doesn't change.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's awesome. I mean, we're in the Kansas City market, and it's very, very competitive. But much the same as your story. I mean, I'm friends with most of them, and honestly, it helps us in the long run. I mean, the net score for us, we come out on top because we're always trying to help them. We develop as many subcontractor relationships as possible because there's so many overlaps. There's things that they do that we don't, and vice versa. And there's so much business to be had that, I mean, it just helps everybody.
Yeah, the work is out there, so I mean that doesn't seem to be an issue. And with the amount of mergers and acquisitions that go in on this industry, recently, you want to be nice to everyone because you never know when you're working for them.
Oh yeah, exactly. Well, cool. I'll ask you some questions. I mean, I've got a lot written down here, but we'll just kind of see where you want to take the conversation. So I'll just kind of tee you up for some of these, and you take it where you want to go. So I took my team. I went 6 years ago to the GIE Expo. Went with my father-in-law when he was a rep for Quali Pro, and then just now took my team. So it's been 6 years, but I just wanted to get kind of what was your big takeaway from the expo this year?
technology and software, and I heard more about robotic mowers this year than I ever have. I would say we started to hear about that on a decent level maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and I was a bit skeptical. I know it's huge in Europe, but I didn't really think it would take off here. But apparently I was wrong, because it seems they're popping up everywhere now. I talked to a few contractors who tried out one. A manufacturer said, "Can you try this out, see if you like it? We'll put it on your head, your at your location," and they did. And now they're going to invest in some.
Oh wow!
So
what does that look like from a practical standpoint? They're going to buy those, and then whenever you use them and outline them once on a property, they'll just show up with that mower. Or how does that look?
I think there's a couple of models. The one that I'm most familiar with is that you do install the line, like the underneath the turf and everything, and it sort of gives it a path to go on. I know, and you basically, you're renting or leasing the mower to the homeowner. So you give them the mower, it has GPS on it, and it can park itself. It leaves every day and mows the lawn. You might have to come by and do some maintenance for it, from what I understand, but sort of does it all by itself. And then you can, that's basically it. It seems like a very difficult thing to manage, but from what I've been hearing about it, it pretty much does it. It's self-explanatory. It's a robotic mower.
That's awesome. How far out do you think we are from that? I mean, is it something where companies will start implementing it slowly over the next few years, or are we 5 years out? What are your thoughts?
Well, I was wrong the first time about not taking off, so don't do this. I would say in 5 years, maybe even sooner, maybe 3 to 5 years, it's going to be maybe somewhat regular. Maybe not just another thing, but it's going to be more normal to have these because of the labor issue. You can't find people. I don't know how your market's doing, but nationally, it's a huge pain point of trying to find people to jump on mowers and do that job. So
once it becomes the norm, I think it'll take off. I mean, because it's saving one time and two money. And whenever those things become a norm and people see the time and money savings in it, I mean, I think from there it's just gonna explode. But it's funny, we also notice a lot of people were just kind of skipping over those booths, like it was something 10, 20 years down the road that they didn't really have to deal with.
Yeah.
Did you notice that at all?
This year?
Yeah.
Not really.
Okay.
I unfortunately don't always get to get out, and we're busy doing other stuff. I don't get to get outside as much as I should. But from what I was hearing, no, it was pretty popular stops with the people who had those mowers. But like I said, like 3 years ago, I was very skeptical on it. But it seemed to be a lot more popular today.
Awesome. Cool. The next point I'd like to touch on, you guys in your last edition, kind of the state of the industry, you talked about the median versus mean income for landscapers from 2017 to 2018. I was just going to have you expound on that a little bit. I know one of them has kind of the outliers in it, but was going to get your thoughts around that, and if companies are kind of vulnerable because of the propped up economy, or what your thoughts are with that.
That number is pretty much has been going up steadily, both the mean and the median, since I've been here, really, since 2010.
Okay.
I always say when I started, people were cautiously optimistic about the economy and their business, about it turning around. And then maybe 3 years ago, the cautiously was dropped and optimistic was more of the term they were using. Things seem to be going well. I don't hear much from many landscapers who say, you know, I'm hurting or the work's not there. Yeah. They complain about the labor and they voice their disappointment. They can't find people to do the jobs. For instance, our benchmarking, your business report comes out in November, and that's sort of the focus of that, is that the money is there for the taking, but the workers to actually do the work aren't. So I'm not too concerned. I mean, I'm not an economist. You hear some people say the economy is gonna take a hit in the next couple of years, and some say it's not going to be as bad as the Great Recession was, which was, that would be great.
Yeah, exactly.
But so far, so good. I have not heard too many people getting dark clouds and rainy days with their business.
Yeah, yeah. And I just found it intriguing. I mean, we started this company 6-7 years ago, and so we were kind of on the backside of that recession. And so things were starting to tick up. But, I mean, as we were talking to some people, I mean, there was a lot of companies, you know, 1- and 2-guy mowing businesses at the GIE Expo. And I just feel like everything's moving along steadily. And I didn't know if you felt it's going so well that, you know, some of these companies are vulnerable. And if so, is it, you know, are they reinvesting too much in equipment? Are they... You know, have they taken out too big of a loan? I didn't know if you had any, you know, history on that or any data that you could give us.
Not really. I mean, there's always that down. The roller coaster goes up and then it goes down.
Yeah.
It's bound to happen eventually. I think the contractors that were involved in the Great Recession who stayed in business learned a lot of lessons. The ones who weren't probably entered the market with a different sort of expectations.
Yeah.
So maybe they're a little bit more cautious about spending money on the nice new toys and the equipment.
Yeah.
Although some find buying the new equipment saves you from having to hire labor, because the better the equipment, the more work you can do, the more efficient it is, and it's not breaking down.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
A mower that doesn't work is money not going into your pocket.
Oh yeah. Yeah, if you can get that ROI right out of the gate, that makes sense. But perfect.
Yeah.
Well, we'll switch gears now a little bit and kind of talk marketing. I was going to get your thoughts on how you feel people are winning currently on social media right now.
How they're winning on social media?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah, it's hard. I think that's how when I started in 2010, social media wasn't as popular for contractors to use, you know, social media, Facebook and Twitter. I think Facebook is more popular among landscape contractors as far as buying ads and trying to target them. I still think there's value in other ways of marketing besides social media, doing, you know, advertising your local newspaper or your community flyer or whatever you have going around. Because that helps your brand to get your name out there, and having nice trucks with your logo and your name of your company, that also helps your brand.
Yeah.
So I see social media as a way of supplementing marketing, but I've also heard contractors who that's all they do, and they get lots of small jobs, lots of maybe 1, 2, maybe 3 houses, but they are getting some work and building up their customer base.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's great insight. And then we had a couple questions come in from some of our followers, and I'll ask you some of these. One guy asks, how do companies with 10 or fewer employees pay their employees? I don't know if you have any insight on that. And then just if you had kind of average pay for lawn tech, crew leader, mow tech, he wanted to know kind of what the average pay was across the board.
So you're saying how they pay them is once a week, twice a week, or?
Yeah, he was asking once a week, twice a week. Is it, you know, are people wanting auto draft into their checking? Do they, you know, are they okay with a check? And you don't have to delve into that too much. That's pretty standard. But maybe lean more towards average pay.
Okay, yeah, the average pay I could, for a mower entry level, we have about $12 an hour average.
Okay.
That's an entry-level mower.
Okay.
Experienced mower, we find that about $15 is closer to that number.
Okay. And then what about like a crew leader for that?
I don't think we have necessarily a crew leader. I don't think we ask about foremen in our benchmarking survey.
Do you have lawn technician or a chemical applicator?
So I actually do have, for a crew foreman leader, it's about $40,000 a year.
Okay.
That's the average.
Okay.
Lawn care, and this is, I'm going back and forth between yearly and hourly.
Okay.
Spray technician, hourly, that is entry level, is about $1,425. and spray technician experience about 1750.
Okay.
And when we do this survey, we try to give a national overview, but I realize this industry is very unique because of the micro economies within it.
Yeah.
You could be one town over from a town doing great, and the next town over is there's no work to be had.
So I
just put that disclaimer usually on these numbers.
Yeah. And then what about, do you have like a general manager? Do you have those numbers?
No, we don't ask about general manager. It's probably something we have a supervisor category. Okay. And that's $50,000 a year.
50. Okay. For the supervisor. Mm-hmm. Okay. Perfect. Yeah. I mean, I think that gives enough perspective and kind of the range they need to be in.
Do you find that that's accurate, that a supervisor, and I'm asking you for someone who's within the business, supervisor, general manager, sort of the same role?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, in the Kansas City market, just like you said, it varies. We can go 30 minutes south and the hourly rate drops quite a bit. And then we have Ryan Lawn and Tree about 15 minutes up the road from us. And I know their lawn technicians get paid pretty well. I think they started about $40,000 a year plus commission. I do not know. I don't know.
A little bit bigger than you, though.
A lot of bit bigger than me. Yeah.
Right.
But as far as I know, I had a buddy who was a groundskeeper. He got hired at Aspen, and I know he's making a base salary of about $35,000 a year, and then he's got commission on top of that. So that's kind of the range they're in, which would be, I think that's roughly $18,000 an hour.
Okay.
So we're Kansas City market's probably a little on the higher end, I think.
And are you guys having trouble finding labor?
We're not. For us, I mean, we pride ourselves on customer service and professionalism. So it's not struggling to find the help. It's that quality that we're looking for. So we have plenty of labor, plenty of help, but we're always looking for that, you know, that next person that can slip into a leadership role. And that's where we're struggling. So not necessarily struggling to find people that can, you know, fill a spot. It's just we want somebody that will take it to the next level. We're also kind of unique. We run each truck kind of like its own micro business. So they do everything from billing, collections, marketing, and selling. And so with that, obviously, comes more leadership roles.
How many employees do you have?
We have four right now.
Okay. Are you more heavy maintenance, design, build?
We do not. So we specialize in – the reason I reference Ryan Lawn is we pretty much do everything they do, excluding tree and shrub, like trimming and removal.
Okay.
So we specialize in the turf management aspect. We have tree and shrub fertilizing and insecticide programs that we do, along with aerating and overseeding.
Okay. So more of a lawn care.
Yeah. More of a lawn care and – pretty slow and steady growth. My wife and I started the company 6 years ago, and we've doubled ever since. And next year, we should be hiring five new lawn technicians and an admin person. So just really trying to learn as much as we can and expand our leadership because it's growing rapidly. So we want to make sure we handle it correctly.
Well, keep reading Lawn and Landscape. Hopefully it'll help you.
We do, man. When I started 6 years ago, I was doing a little bit of everything, and I mean, the magazine helped me tremendously. And love the stories in there and the articles, and I read both. I had an iPad with me all the time, so I read both the print edition and the one online. So it's pretty convenient.
Cool.
Yeah, that's
our goal, to let you guys know that you're not alone, that people have the similar problems as you're having. Someone in California is having the same problem as someone in, you know, Pennsylvania.
Yeah. And I like that. I think the last few years you guys have been putting more business advice in there and some more sales and marketing experience. Especially with some of the actual, what's the guy's name? Marty Grunder has some good stuff in there that we read. And that's been good because I feel like that's what our industry was missing, and that's why we're doing the podcast, is because a lot of guys know, you know, what they're doing and the actual horticulture side of it, or how to mow, what they're landscaping, but the actual business side of operating, you know, and growing a business is where there's usually kind of information missing.
Yeah, that's what we try to do. All our columnists, including Bruce Wilson and Jim Houston and the Harvest Group, we try to have them focus on business. And the magazine overall, we figure you're not coming here to learn how to mow or apply. We do have some technical stuff, but yeah, we're more focused on, because what we always find is that they know how to landscape, but you don't know how to run a business, because you start as a landscaper, you didn't start as a business person. Yeah. And I think changing that mindset of the contractor, the ones who can do that are the ones who become successful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's such a huge pain point there too, because there's such ease of entry into the market. You know, anybody can grab an old beat up truck and a mower and instantly they're in business. And I mean, that's how I was in my mom's purple minivan and a push mower. And then 10 years later, I actually have to deal with employees and payroll taxes and sales and all the stuff that comes with a business that you just kind of have to step through on your own. Sometimes you feel like you're on an island.
Yeah, the ease of entry, it's a blessing and a curse. When I used to work in newspapers, we get a call every once in a while from someone like, hey, my 12-year-old's mowing the lawn, or this guy, he's 23 and he started his company when he was 15, and we jump on it. That's awesome.
Yeah.
And then I start working here, and that's 95% of the stories we get are that story. So it wasn't as exciting after that, but it's the way most people start in this industry.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting from that standpoint. So, let's go on with the next question if you've got time. One guy here locally just wanted to know simply, with what you've seen of people who are successful, he wants to know what separates the winners from the losers in this industry. And he's got just a local mowing company with one other guy.
Right. I would say professionalism and price, the two P's. The more you present yourself as a professional business person, the farther you're going to go. So if he might have one other guy you said he's working with, get uniforms. Buy some polo shirts or whatever you need for each season. Get a nice truck, a nice decal on your truck. Make sure your employees aren't smoking on a job. Even if they're, hiding behind a truck, that's always something. I see myself as a homeowner. I'll see a company with the guy standing out there smoking a cigarette. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah.
You wouldn't do that in an office or anything. Yeah. So just, having that, not appeal, but that appearance that you mean business. Like you're doing this to make money. You're not just a guy who cuts grass. Yeah. You are a business person who just provides services of cutting grass. And that goes for internally too. Keep your shop clean. If you have an office, keep that clean, because your employees see that, and that sets the example for them. Now I say that as I'm sitting at a desk with papers everywhere, but you can make sure your mechanic shop, if you have one of those, make sure it's clean. Make sure everything is tidy. Decorate your office like it's a professional setting. And I think that goes a long way for the workers who go out in the field. They'll take that with them and set the example for you.
No, that's good. That's good. I couldn't agree more. And I think the professionalism overall is, as the industry moves forward, that's going to allow for better margins for mowing. I know a lot of guys that enter, you said professionalism and price. They immediately want to compete on price, and it's kind of a race to the bottom, where if they would start with professionalism, I think, net score overall is going to be a lot better for them.
Yeah. And you get what you pay for. I mean, if the customer is going to go for the lowest bid, they're probably going to get the lowest bid work. One thing we find is that I know a lot of contractors are afraid to raise prices. They don't want to raise, especially for current customers and even for new ones. But every time we do a story on it, we'll talk to contractors who raise prices, and they say, we didn't get too much pushback. They realize we're in this to make a buck too. And the ones that did drop their services, you probably didn't want them as customers anyways.
So you're
providing an A+ service, you should provide A+ prices, and the contractors who do that are gonna come out ahead.
Correct. Yeah, it's usually those bottom 5% clients that you're having to chase down and collect from anyways. Those are the ones that cancel. So couldn't agree more. Yeah, I'm with you there. Was going to see, another question was, have you seen a spike in companies offering better benefits to attract / keep talent? I know we're in a really great economy, and with that, we've got, I think the last study I saw was we've got twice as many jobs as there are employees. So I didn't know if companies have been tailoring and kind of adjusting and pivoting to that market.
I have not heard it too much. I've talked to a few people who do offer or have said they decided to start offering benefits all the way down to labor, like in the field labor.
Yeah.
Over the years, anecdotally, I found that we've heard that they don't really take the benefits. They'd rather have the money in their paycheck than have it going to health benefits, and they would rather just pay for a medical bill if it happens.
Okay.
They're taking their chances. So I haven't heard too much of that, but then again, I know we haven't really done research on that. We may have done some years ago, but nothing recent.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. And he was asking, he's yet again, a lot of our audience, just so you get a picture, is 10 or fewer employees. And so as they grow, they're having some of their, you know, supervisors are going to be leader asking those questions. I think one thing people don't realize is also when you start a group plan, because we're just now looking into it, the owner of that plan can choose how much they want to, you know, if they want to allocate a percentage or if they want to say, hey, I'm going to start paying $25 a month towards it, $100 a month, whatever. You can choose. You don't have to cover a huge chunk of it every time.
Yeah. And I think if you can afford to do that, you should. Anything you can offer as a bonus to you know, differentiate you from your competition, you should do. And I think, like you said, account managers or general managers, sort of the executive level positions, that to me, I would think that would be mandatory.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. I couldn't agree more. This one's kind of interesting. What is the one thing no one has asked you, but you feel like they should?
What's one thing they haven't asked me that they should?
Yeah. What do you have sitting up in that dome of yours that you should drop on us?
I'll give you one thing. You had mentioned marketing.
Yeah.
I don't think enough contractors form good relationships with the local media.
Okay.
And I say that as a former weekly news paper reporter. I was responsible for filling most of my pages, and you know, maybe now it's a digital only thing, but you still need content and you need good photos. And we would always need a front page photo. And if I was desperate, if a landscaper would have called me and said, hey, we're doing a charity work here, we're putting a garden in at the local school, we're gonna have kids putting plants on the ground, I would have been out there in a second to have photos, and it probably would have been on the front page.
That's awesome.
I think that if you are in the area, if in your local area, you know, find out the deadlines for them. So as far as if they do still have a print component, when you have to have press releases in, if you are doing anything in your area, let them know. Be the expert to them.
Yeah.
Every spring, you always see on the local news, they have some type of story about, you know, get ready for to do your landscaping or get your mowers out. Do a 2-minute hit on the local morning show.
Yeah.
And that's free publicity for you right there.
Yeah.
You get on TV or you get to be interviewed in the media. When you hire someone, send that notice to some of the local media outlets. Okay. There's usually a people in business, or if you have a business, there's a magazine called Cranes. That's here locally. I think it might be national, but any sort of publications you have in your area, any sort of media, they're always looking for news. So if you hire someone, people in news, you know, Joe's Landscaping hired so-and-so to be their account manager.
No, that's really good.
You're in the paper. Get your name out there for free.
No, that's really good. That's really good. I don't do a great job of that either. We try to always develop relationships and stuff like that, but I feel like sometimes some of the younger business owners like myself, we feel like we can get away with social media only. And so we skip some of those steps where, you know, we actually need to put in that sweat equity to develop those relationships and get into some of those publications. Well, on kind of a, I mean, what's the first step?
You have to look at it as when you do a story with the news, they're going to put it on their social media too.
Exactly.
So now you're getting double the coverage.
Exactly. What is like step one if we were to try to get a hold of somebody? I mean, Are you reaching out via email? Do we need to stop by the office? Do you need to kind of give them an article idea that you're, I mean, you said if you're doing like a community service project or something like that, what does it look like?
I would just, you know, a few weeks out of it, send them an email. And then if you don't hear back, maybe follow up closer to the date. And then, you know, if you still don't hear from them, follow up with a phone call. Just say, hey, maybe a week before the job or the event.
Okay.
Call them up and say, hey, I sent you a couple emails. Just wondering if you're interested in covering this. If they say no, well, then they say no. It's not the end of the world, but they might just be busy and missed your two emails. And they say, oh, yeah, I meant to get back to you. I'd love to come out. We'll have a photographer come out and take some shots, and we'll run that online as a slideshow or something. Or we'll do an article on it. And that's the other thing. Don't always assume they're going to write an article on everything you do. They might just come out and take a picture. They might say no sometimes. They might say yes sometimes. Yeah, yeah. But keep that relationship open because, like I said, when they're writing a story about lawn care or landscaping, it's going to come up, and you're going to be the first one on their mind.
Yeah, yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Next question here. I mean, this is just a personal one for me. I mean, who do you know, like knowing our audience, who do you know that we should have on this podcast that you feel could really add value and help out those companies with 10 or fewer employees?
Oh, geez. So many. I mean, there's tons of people that we come in contact with. I would look at some of the, maybe your state association, an executive director or the contractor leading your state association or your local association. And I say that for you, but you're looking for more of a national perspective. Are you familiar with the NALP?
Yes, sir.
Having someone from them on, they have very talented people with their organization. That's the National Association of Landscape Professionals.
Okay.
They can always jump on and talk about the whole industry, not just 10 or fewer employees, everyone.
Yeah. Kind of give another big picture. Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. As far as like someone with 10 employees and under, I mean, there's nothing, no one that comes to top of mind right now. But yeah, if I think of someone, I'll shoot you an email.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's fine. That's perfect. Well, Brian, I know you're a busy man, and I want to make sure we respect your time. So we'll wrap up here. I really appreciate it. This has been more than helpful. Do you have anything else that you'd like to leave our audience with?
Nope. Just read Lawn and Landscape magazine. If you don't have a subscription, go to lawnandlandscape.com and you'll find a subscription tab there, and you can sign up, and we'll set the magazine comes out every month. It's free, and it's full of business landscapers, lawn care operators talking about their business, and green industry professionals giving advice, stuff they've learned, mistakes they've made. And it might save you some pain points. Even if you pull one thing away from each issue or each couple of issues, you know, we feel like we've done our job. If you can take something and implement it in your business to help you, then that makes us happy and we've done our job.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Brian, you're the man. I truly appreciate it. Thank you for the time, and best of luck to you guys.
Thank you, Brett. Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
All right, hope you guys enjoyed that. Very fun for me to get to hear from him and get to hear his perspective on everything. I liked how we set this one up. We got requests and questions from Instagram followers DMing me, people commenting on our posts. We had some requests via Twitter. You can reach out to me on those platforms. We're at @GreenAgainLawn, so @green_again_lawn. On Instagram, or you can follow my personal page @bdowd32. That's my Twitter handle. If you've got questions you want answered, or kind of something, another pain point like we've been saying, we can do an episode on that. If we don't know the answer or we don't have any feedback on it, we will find somebody who can. But I love that. So I feel like we're gonna be able to add a lot more value that way as people grow their company. There's going to be different things that they're stepping through, and so we want to help you out along the way, just like we are right now. We're growing and we're going through different things, so we want to make sure we're adding value at every turn. So hopefully you enjoyed that, and I I really would love for this to take off. Would really love for this podcast to be able to help more people. So if you want more content, let us know. And if you could please do us a favor, we'd love if you screenshot this, share this episode on your Instagram page, your Twitter page, Facebook, whatever you're on. That would help us tremendously. And then give us a rating. If you thought this was a 5-star, 5 fingers up in the air, give us that 5-star on that podcast rating. Would love to hear back from you guys. Again, thanks for listening. This has been another episode of Lawn Care Leaders, and we'll be back with you soon.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.